Welcome to the Science Update Podcast. I'm Bob Hirshon, and this is the podcast for January 28th, 2011.
The Science Update Podcast is produced by AAAS, advancing science, serving society.
When an animal is performing a behavior, what happens at the DNA level?
The worst insect is still better than the best pig, and all insects are better or produce fewer greenhouse gases than beef cattle.
The bees that were deprived of sleep displayed less precise direction information to their sisters.
Females are in fact more alert when they hear a butcher bird.
This week, how an Australian bird benefits when its predator calls, what happens when bees get sleepy, and the invasion of the giant fish. Also, could eating insects slow down global warming? But first, Suzanne says Chinese farmers recently discovered a fossil that's making paleontologists look at prehistoric animals in a whole new light.
Determining the sex of a prehistoric animal is notoriously difficult. That's because soft tissue anatomical features are rarely preserved by the fossil record.
Typically, in the fossil record, it's a frustrating thing that in almost all cases, in the millions of fossils in museum collections, that we don't know what gender they are.
That's paleontologist Dave Unwin from the University of Leicester in England. He and other researchers working in China recently pieced together clues from a pterodactyl fossil of the species Darwinopterus that suggests the bird-like reptile was a female. He says this individual was found with an egg that was clearly expelled from its body.
And the egg's preserved immediately behind the hips of this animal underneath the tail, so it's clearly come from the mother. So we know we're dealing with a female in this case.
He says it also had wide hips, which probably helped with egg laying, and lacked a crest on its head. He says several other members of the species have been found with wide hips and no crests, and the researchers now think these were probably females too. But other specimens have narrow hips and bony crests, and the new discovery suggests that these were probably the males of the species.
Males might have used the crest to intimidate other males and frighten them away, or maybe males used the crest to attract females. In other pterosaurs, where we have crests, in some cases they reach extraordinary sizes, maybe five times the height of the skull of the male that bore the crest.
Unwin says fossils abound in China, and because there are so many, paleontologists depend on farmers to find some of the best ones.
These are very poor people who supplement their incomes in the winter by digging small quarries and searching for fossils. And there are many thousands of these people, and they find an awful lot of fossils. And every now and then, they find, you know, extremely important ones like this one. And what tends to happen is that middlemen and dealers sort of go around the farmers and they buy up the really good fossils and then they sell them to museums throughout China.
He says the fossil find will cause paleontologists to reopen fossil collections and look at them in a whole new way.
I think it's finds like these which give us great encouragement and great heart to sort of be able to say, well, okay, maybe we can't reconstruct the entire evolutionary history of a particular group or what have you, you know, step by step. But what we can do is we can actually look into the biology of some of these animals in really in a far more comprehensive and sort of detailed way than we ever thought possible. So in that respect, I think these kinds of discoveries really stimulate and encourage everyone. In this particular case, this animal died 160 million years ago, and I just find it absolutely astonishing that we should be able to get so far in terms of reconstructing their biology and their lifestyles. And that's something that 10 years ago we would have just thought would be absolutely impossible. I'm very fortunate to be around at a time when these amazing discoveries are coming out, and it's very exciting to be able to do research on them.
The discovery is sure to fascinate not just paleontologists, but fossil enthusiasts, young and old, around the world.
Thanks, Suzanne. Beef and pork provide rich sources of protein for billions of people, but the animals add greenhouse gases to the atmosphere, contributing to global warming. Scientists at Wageningen University in Holland suggest an alternative: eat insects. Entomologist Dennis Onings measured the greenhouse gas emissions of five different species of insects and compared them to livestock.
Insects produce less greenhouse gases per kilogram of products. The worst insect is still better than the best pig, and all insects are better or produce fewer greenhouse gases than beef cattle.
He notes that insect consumption was once common in Western cultures and still provides a significant source of protein around the globe.
About 80% of the human population has insects on their menu. So that's actually quite normal. However, in the Western world, we changed the eating of insects as a habit. Up till about 1600, even in Europe, insects were still being consumed. Later on, the ideas on insects changed, and they were seen as a pest animal, which you wouldn't use.
Oning says he's tasted all five species of insects in the study, and some were more palatable than others.
The cockroaches were not edible. The taste of them was very bad. I would say the house crickets would be my favorite. I tried them in a beer-based dough with a little bit of powdered sugar on them, and they tasted really well.
He says adding insect meal to prepared foods may be one way to get past the ick factor of some insects.
You could imagine a pizza which includes extra animal protein, for instance. It could be used in cookies. It could actually be used in most fabricated meals.
His university is a leader in testing and promoting the eating of insects. Next, genes are responsible for physical traits, but are they also responsible for behavior? Reporter Karina Wu looked to the fruit fly for some answers.
When a male fruit fly encounters a female fruit fly, he automatically goes into courtship mode, serenading her by vibrating his wings. But when he meets another male, not that much happens. Now researchers have found that not only is his behavior different, but so is his level of gene expression. Geneticist Ginger Carney of Texas A&M University says 16 genes in the male change when courting a female. But when a male fly encountered another male, several hundred genes were affected.
The magnitude of the difference between a male interacting with a female and a male interacting with a male was something that we did not expect.
The study shows that many genes in the fly are socially responsive. They change depending on whom the fly interacts with. And according to Carney, many of those genes have counterparts in humans.
Even the genes that are upregulated due to male-female courtship interactions, almost all of those have analogs in humans.
So by testing each one of these genes in fruit flies to see what effect they have on behavior, scientists can then begin to figure out what might underlie those same pathways in people.
Thanks, Karina. Next, Suzanne reports on a unique way in which an Australian bird benefits from its enemy.
Splendid fairy wrens are tiny blue birds that inhabit the arid regions of Australia and mate for life. But that doesn't stop them from having illicit affairs with their neighbors.
So females lay four eggs, and for three out of those four eggs, she'll mate with a neighboring male or a male somewhere else in the neighborhood.
That's University of Chicago behavioral ecologist Stephen Pruitt-Jones. He says being so small, fairy wrens have lots of predators, and the butcher bird is one predator that goes after their eggs and young, which is why it's surprising that male fairy wrens often start calling the moment they hear a butcher bird sing. They'll overlap a butcher bird's call, like this. Pruitt-Jones and his colleague Emma Gregg, now of the Cornell Laboratory of Ornithology, conducted field experiments to discover why the males piggyback on their predator's songs. They discovered that hearing the butcher bird's song first captures the female fairy wren's attention.
Females are in fact more alert when they hear a butcher bird, and females respond more to a male display call that follows a butcher bird call.
He says this likely leads to more matings for the male.
We believe, but haven't yet shown, that this translates into higher reproductive success for the male. And we're doing paternity studies on the birds, and that's the next thing that we're trying to figure out, is how much more successful is a male if he gives his display call after a predator versus if he gives the display call without first hearing a predator.
Thanks for that report, Suzanne. Asian carp can weigh over 100 pounds and leap out of the water with such force they've caused broken bones among boaters. The fish have invaded U.S. rivers and are heading toward the Great Lakes, where they could replace native fish. Aquatic ecologist Lindsay Chatterton from the Nature Conservancy has been taking water samples in the Chicago area, looking for Asian carp DNA to see how close the fish have gotten to Lake Michigan.
In many ways, this is analogous to what the police and forensic science has done for a long, long time. We are looking for a really small amount of DNA with modern genetic laboratory tools.
A study in the journal Nature supports the validity of the DNA tracking method, which is bad news. The evidence shows that some of the fish have gotten past underwater electric fences put up to stop them. Sleep deprivation can cause all kinds of problems, from lost productivity to car accidents. But it can also affect animals. In our final story this week, Suzanne learned what happens when bees get tired.
Breakdowns in communication can cost time, money, and sometimes even lives. But the consequences of communication failures aren't unique to human societies. Clear communication is essential to honeybees, which tell their hive sisters where to locate food through something called a waggle dance.
Honeybees have an uncanny ability to communicate to their sisters through a waggle dance in which a bee that has found a new nest site or food source returns to the hive, is able to waggle her abdomen at an angle relative to the vertical in the comb that reflects the direction from the sun to the destination advertised.
That's entomologist Barrett Klein of the University of Würzburg. He and his colleagues found that when bees were sleep-deprived, they became less effective communicators.
The bees that were deprived of sleep displayed less precise direction information to their sisters. The dance wasn't necessarily wrong, but it was less precise than dances performed by bees that were not sleep-deprived.
Klein says commercial apiculture practices often involve transporting hives in trucks for hundreds of miles at night, so sleep deprivation might affect their productivity.
Thanks, Suzanne. Well, that's all we have for you this week. Next week, we'll tell you why music gives you chills, and we'll answer some listeners' questions about left-handedness, birth order, and academic achievement. But if you can't wait that long, tune into the Science Update Podcast Daily Edition every day, Monday through Friday. You can find it on our website, scienceupdate.com, or at iTunes. You can also check out Science Update's fan page on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. And if you have a science question, give us a call at 1-800-WHY-IS-IT. If we use your question, we'll send you a Science Update mug. Thanks for listening. I'm Bob Hirshon for AAAS, the Science Society.